This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala ibadihi alladhina istafa wa ba'd. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and to bless all his companions, those who have struggled and strived to bring this deen to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the ulama in our midst. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and our offspring, those to come up to the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Beloved brothers, sisters, and dearest listeners, this evening we completed Surah At-Tawbah. And I'm sure you are aware that yesterday we had made mention that in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah has exposed the hypocrites. In the opening verses of the 11th part of the Quran that we commence this evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes yet another exposition of these criminals or these hypocrites. Those who stayed away from one of the battles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when you go back to Medina, then they will present lame excuses. And when you go back to Medina, they will swear qasams, they will swear oaths that this is what we intended and that is what we intended and this is why we did not take part and so on. And Allah says, no, their excuse is not to be accepted. So these verses are mentioned in the opening verses of this particular part of the Quran, which is within Surah At-Tawbah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Bedouins. And Allah says, from amongst the Bedouin Arabs, and those were the people who had accepted Islam at the time, some of them are not believers. They claim to be believers, but they are not. And some of them are true believers. So the first party, when they spend in the path of Allah, when they are asked to spend, they consider it a fine. They consider it a penalty or a punishment when they are giving out their charities. And the other party, those who believe, they consider it an honor to be spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah makes mention of this. Let me read the verses. Allah says,
وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا.
There are some of the Bedouins who take what they spend as a fine, as a penalty.
وَيَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِرُ.
And they are waiting for some calamity to befall you. Allah says, against them there will be calamity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ.
There are some of the Bedouin Arabs who believe in Allah and the last day.
وَيَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ قُرُبَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ.
And whatever they spend, they consider it a means of earning closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَصَلَوَاتِ الرَّسُولِ.
And a means of achieving the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua, that dua is definitely a powerful one. It is a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these categories of people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after making mention of those who spend out of the goodness of their heart willingly, Allah says, take their wealth. Why should we take their wealth? Meaning, why should this zakat be given? The reasons are mentioned in this verse. Allah says,
خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take from their wealth that sadaqah, that charity, that zakat, which will cleanse them. Cleansing them in many ways. Let's mention two. One is to cleanse the wealth. To cleanse the wealth itself, remember, the more you spend, the more you get. The more you spend, the more blessing and barakah there will be in what remains with you. When you invest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the returns are far beyond 700%. Amazing. You know, today people, na'udhu billah, enter into haram deals where the return is 5%, 6%, they get excited. Yet it's haram. And Allah is telling us the returns more than 700% and even beyond, depending on your intention. Let us invest. In the Quran, in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us by saying, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقُ. That which will remain with you is going to come to an end. It's going to terminate, because when you die, it's going to go to somebody else. So we suffer our lives earning, half of that earning is going to go to another person. Allah says, but that which you have deposited with Allah, it is going to remain forever next to your name, because you have used it in the path of Allah. When you get into the akhirah, you will see the returns. So when you spend in the path of Allah, you have written that this wealth next to my name. But what you keep with you, it's not going to be written for you. When you die, it's for somebody else. Someone else's name will be written. So that is a powerful way of looking at it. Whenever we spend for Allah, you give out a charity, your name is now written. So and so, so much wealth, they've invested it in the path of Allah. But when we've kept it with ourselves, somebody else will do something with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us and grant us understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the cleansing of the wealth. And Allah says, تُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. And obviously, what is achieved is cleanliness of a spiritual nature. The internal qualities of an individual are cleansed by giving out sadaqat. In many ways, let me mention one or two. When a person gives wealth, their own earned wealth that Allah has given them, to a poor person, naturally it will rid them of stinginess. And naturally it will make them more conscious of the plight of the needy, because they are giving. And naturally they will receive the du'as of others, the poor and the needy. At times those who are closer to Allah will make du'a for us solely because we've given a charity, and that charity has benefited them. This is why we need to understand a very important ruling when it comes to zakat. A lot of us just dish out our zakat wherever and whenever we can. Yes, that is correct, but there is something more correct. What is more correct? What is ideal? We are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hunt, to look for the best place to give that zakat. When your wealth is being used by a pious person trying to study the deen, or a person who goes to the masjid, a person who is struggling and striving to do good, naturally you will have a greater reward than when you just throw your wealth to someone in need, happens to be a Muslim but goes to the nightclubs, happens to be a Muslim but drinks. Your zakat is going to be used in a detrimental manner, in a manner that will not bring about as much return as one would like. This is why it's our duty to go out and hunt for the cause that is the best. Then we give our wealth out there. May Allah make us understand this. In the same way, when it comes to salah, we look for the best imam to lead us. Ya ummul qawma aqra'uhum likitabillah. The hadith speaks about who should be the imam. We like to choose someone who is the best in terms of knowledge, in terms of recitation and so on. And then we feel comfortable when we read behind them that alhamdulillah, we pray that our salah is accepted. Now the same applies when it comes to zakat. We need to look for the best, the most ideal to give this wealth to. What is the point of giving someone who doesn't even obey Allah's commands? Maybe our zakat will be fulfilled, but not in the ideal manner. May Allah make us conscious of this. Because one of the points is we need to try and achieve cleanliness, both externally and internally. And we need to try and achieve spiritual upliftment by these charities of ours. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes yet another group of hypocrites. The leader of the hypocrites was one man. His name was given to us in the ahadith. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. That was his name. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. A lot of the problems were caused by him. One of the reasons was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had struck an agreement with the people of Medina Munawwara, they were about to select him as one of their leaders. And because now that leadership went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned away and he became a hypocrite, and he pretended like he was a follower, but he was not a follower. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exposed him in so many different places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all steadfastness and protect us from hypocrisy. The hypocrites, according to the Quran, are worse than the kuffar. Because a non-Muslim, you know he's a non-Muslim. But a hypocrite who is not a Muslim, pretending to be a Muslim, that is even worse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes one of his plots. What was his plot? He found that everyone was turning to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid al-Nabawi, and in Masjid Quba, there were people like Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu and the others who were solid Muslimin. So he had no leadership, he had no control over anyone, no authority. So he decided the best way, let us get hold of a few of the people who are also hypocrites, and we get their wealth and we build something which we will call a masjid. And that masjid, we will use it in order to try and lure the weak with our wealth. And when we lure them, we will create doubt in their minds about the Sahaba and about the Messenger and so on. And we will start picking and pointing fingers and so on, and picking on them. So they decided to build a masjid. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just before he left for the expedition of Tabuk. And they told him, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we want you to bless our masjid by reading one salah in there. We built a masjid because the excuse they used, they said it's convenient for the elderly and those who can't really manage to come. Yet it was quite close to Masjid Quba. And then what happened is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was something very, very divine. Initially he told them, he said, yes, okay, when on my way back from Tabuk, I will pass by and I will read one salah there. So it's like the opening of the masjid, so to speak. And what happened is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on the expedition of Tabuk, as I told you, the hypocrites were exposed. This is one of the reasons we don't say Bismillah when it comes to the beginning of the surah. And Allah says, you dare stand in that masjid. Why? Listen to the verses.
وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ.
Allah says, those who built a masjid in order to divide the community, that was their intention. تَفْرِيقًا كُفْرًا, out of disbelief, in order to divide the community. Waiting in ambush for the weak and wanting to deviate the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be careful. They will swear an oath that we only intended goodness. Allah says,
وَلَا يَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى.
They will take a qasam to say, wallahi, we only intended goodness. Even with that qasam, don't believe them. Allah says, here we are exposing them. Wallahu yashhadu, Allah bears witness.
Innahum lakathibun,
they are lying. These are their intentions. Allah says,
la taqum fihi abada,
don't ever go and stand in the masjid. Because it's not a masjid. It's actually a place of division. This is why it's important for us. And these verses are here in the surah, not just so we can read them and, you know, listen to the story and appreciate the story, but to learn a lesson. Many of us, Allah's blessed us with wealth. Sometimes we want to put up a masjid anywhere, whether it's needed or not. We just want to put up a masjid. Sometimes there's no need for the masjid. Sometimes you'd rather extend an existing masjid than to put up another masjid. So when we learn from this that if you want to put up a masjid, fair and good, but make sure it is needed, number one. If it is not needed, do something else. Or go to another area. It doesn't mean that now, because I've got the wealth, I made an intention and I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, let me do it. If it's not needed, it may divide the Muslim ummah. So what we do, we learn from this, if it is needed, the second thing, we need to make sure we are doing it for the pleasure of Allah. Consult the ulama in your area, in your locality, and make sure where you are putting it up, it is needed, number one. And number two, it is done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with no idea of controlling or diverting people or turning people away from here and there. The masjid is the house of Allah, not mine, not yours. We ask Allah to grant us a lesson from this. And these verses, I'm not going to go into all of them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how important it is to go to the masjid that was built initially, speaking about Masjid Quba. Because the blessings in Masjid Quba are far greater, and in it there are people who are pure and they love purity, and Allah loves those who are pure. May Allah purify all of us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives a certain group of people, three of them, Sahaba, who did not take part in the expedition of Tabuk. They did not have an excuse, but they were sincere in their tawbah. For more than a month, almost 50 days, according to some narrations, they were boycotted completely from the Prophet or by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by the companions. No salam, no greeting, no nothing, because they had committed a sin. It is a long story in the books of Seerah. I'm sure if we pick it up, we will be able to read when it comes to the expedition of Tabuk about the people who stayed behind and the categories of people. There were three from amongst them. Allah clarifies that these are not hypocrites. Their tawbah is accepted. And Allah says, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah has forgiven the messenger and the believers and so on. And over and above that, Allah has forgiven the three who stayed back. And they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their repentance has now been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He makes mention of this by saying, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. And Allah has forgiven those three who had remained behind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever make us from those who remain behind when there is goodness, and may He forgive us for our shortcomings. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how important it is. Remember, we're dealing here with hypocrites, and they are being exposed. Allah speaks about how important it is to stay far from the hypocrites by doing what? By staying only in the company of as-sadiqun. Sadiqun are those who are truthful. They are not hypocrites. Good company will make you good. When you are in bad company, you won't even realize that the way I am thinking is now contaminated, because that will be the norm. But when you are in good company, the minute there is something bad, automatically you will feel within you that something wrong here, because you know you've been thinking in the right way. So it's important for us to check the company we have. Don't be ashamed to eradicate certain people from your company when they are bad. We need to ask ourselves, are we having a positive impact on the bad in our midst, or are they having a negative impact on us? If we are having a positive impact on them, they are in good company. But if they are having a negative impact on us, we are in bad company. Simple common sense logic. And if that is the case, we need to stay very far from them. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah. Wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. And only find yourselves with those who are truthful. The company you have makes you or breaks you, wallahi. Starting from the age of school and even slightly younger. Those whom we allow our children to mix with, they will be like them. So be careful. There is no need sometimes to allow your child to play with people whom you don't know how they've been brought up. Sometimes our children go to homes of people who are sitting and watching movies that are unacceptable. The language in the home is rotten. May Allah protect us. And our children come back learning the worst of words when we never ever use them in our houses. Because we haven't ever thought of the external environment, we only think of the internal. I'd like to say this, and from experience, that the environment outside the home has a greater impact nowadays than that in the home. And let us understand, don't be fooled. You better choose the schools your children go to very carefully. I believe, and I believe this firmly, I know there might be some people who might disagree, but I believe it firmly. It is better for us, really, to sacrifice a grade or two than to sacrifice the character and conduct of your children. Someone might say, that school doesn't have good grades, but take a look at the conduct of the children there. Subhanallah. And I repeat it, it is better for us to sacrifice a grade or two than to sacrifice the character and conduct. How many children have we seen? They have very brilliant matric results, but they're on drugs. Wasted. A student wasted. Whereas another one, mediocre, but brilliant, pleasant child. Subhanallah. When a doctor is about to operate on a patient, no one asks that doctor, "Doctor, what did you get for matric? I need to know." They might have got one or two grades lower than even the nurse who's right there. But at the end of the day, they're the doctor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Many of us are contaminated by thinking which makes us send our children to schools that are very inappropriate in terms of character and conduct, only because we want to be seen as, and I want to use the word, the lanis. May Allah protect us. Why? Let's understand, these are verses of the Quran that are teaching us powerful lessons. We've gone far deeper into just the issue of as-sadiqeen, but I think it's appropriate. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us also, after having spoken about company, He tells us, not everyone should engage in one field. We need to diversify. Many people feel that we need to all do one thing. The Quran says, no, some people must learn the knowledge of deen, whilst others are specializing in something else. Listen to the verse. Allah says,
وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً.
It is not for the believers that all of them should go out in jihad. Some of them must stay back and concentrate on learning the deen so that they can warn their people after that regarding the rules and regulations of Islam. So we need to understand, Islam has encouraged us to diversify. We need people who are ulama, we need people who are mujahideen, we need doctors from amongst us, we need lawyers, plumbers, and we need accountants and so on, and we need teachers, and we need all sorts of people. But bottom line, firstly, primarily, good Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. And this is from the Quran, understood from this verse in Surah At-Tawbah.
فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِن كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ.
Let there be a group who does not go out, but rather sacrifice their time specializing in the knowledge of deen, so that when the others return, they can warn them about the rules and regulations of the deen. Look at Khalid ibn al-Walid. What did he say on his deathbed? He said, شَغَلَنِ الْجِهَادُ عَنْ تَعَلُّمِ كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, the jihad has occupied me from learning a lot of the Qur'an, but I don't have regrets. Allah used me in a way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses others in a different way. Together we make the team. Remember, the house is built not only by one man. The bricklayer does the bulk of the work. There is an architect who started everything up. Then you have the man who comes in to glaze, and you have the painter, and you have the plumber, and you have the electrician. Together they build the house. No one person can say, I have done this job. The same applies in the deen. We all need to complement and supplement one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deep understanding of the deen. None of us, no matter what field we are in, should feel for a moment that we are useless. We need to ask ourselves, how am I serving my deen in the field that we have chosen here and Allah has accepted me for? So no matter who you are, what profession you are, ask yourself, are you serving the deen in your own field? If you are, alhamdulillah, you are a successful individual. We need you just like we need everybody else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our understanding. In the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, in fact it is Surah Yunus, named after Yunus. And just a point, a note for the Huffaz, when we speak of Yunus alayhi salam and Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam, these were wise people. And this is why right at the beginning Allah says, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْحَكِيمِ. Allah speaks about the verses of the book that are wise. The word wisdom also comes in Surah Luqman, because he was also a wise man. So when a person is becoming a hafidh, or wants to memorize the Quran, or has memorized, you want to know Surah Yunus, you can close your eyes and say, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ. You know the word Al-Hakim should come thereafter. May Allah grant us understanding and wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are people surprised that we sent a man just like them from amongst them as a warner and as a messenger? And it was not an angel, or it was not someone who was extremely wealthy. The messengers on a spiritual front were definitely the highest of the lot, but not always were they the wealthiest or the most influential when it comes to the dunya or when it comes to worldly items. There were some, like Sulaiman and Dawood, may peace be upon them. But not all of them. Allah says, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Are the people, or were the people surprised that we revealed to one from amongst them that he should come out and warn the people and give the good news to those who believe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us believers, and may that good news apply to us. Ameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention yet of another quality. Another quality that we find, and sadly sometimes we ourselves get overtaken by this quality. Allah says, when man, and we've mentioned this a few days ago, is in difficulty, and he calls out to Allah, standing, sitting on his side, when he is lying down, he prays, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Allah says, when we alleviate the suffering, he carries on like nothing ever happened. Like he never needed Allah. Listen to how powerfully the verse is worded. So powerfully, Allah says, وَإِذَا أَذَقْنَا النَّاسَ رَحْمَةً مِّن بَعْدِ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتْهُمْ. Allah says, when man receives the mercy of Allah after evil had befallen him, then he carries on, may Allah protect us, in a manner that is not fit. In fact, in another verse also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ. When evil befalls man, when calamity befalls man, da'ana, he calls out to us. What does he say to us? Da'ana li janbihi aw qa'idan aw qa'ima. He calls out to us whilst he is lying down, suffering. Or whilst he is sitting, he's calling out to us, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, cure me, grant me this, grant me that. Or whilst he is standing, he's calling out. Allah says, فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ مَرَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَىٰ ضُرٍّ مَسَّهُ. Once we alleviate that calamity or that evil or that difficulty, we take it out of his path, he carries on as though he's never made the dua to us, asking us to do anything for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. This is why Allah says, a powerful verse, that when man wants goodness, he wants it now. Man, when he makes dua for goodness, he wants it immediately. Ya Allah, grant me cure. I need it today. Now, Ya Allah, give me cure. Ya Allah, I need wealth. Ya Allah, before next week, I need so much wealth, Ya Allah. We want it so urgently. Allah says, do you know the amount of evil that man does? If we had to hasten the punishment for the evil in the same way that they make haste for the goodness, man would have been destroyed. Look at how powerfully the verse is worded. So powerful. وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ إِسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. Powerfully worded. Allah says, and had we hastened for man the evil that he deserves in the same way that he loves the hastening of the good, everything would be over. Allahu Akbar. The punishment would have overtaken man. So Allah sends down goodness also in proportion. And Allah says, فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Those who are not looking forward to meeting us, we leave them in their blindness. They are wandering astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all guidance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Qur'an. A beautiful description in the Qur'an, or of the Qur'an. Ya ayyuhan nasu, O people, what has come to you? Understand and realize this gift that has come to you. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. A warning has come to you from your Rabb. Lessons have come to you from Allah. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And cure for the maladies of the heart. In the Quran, there is cure for the sickness of the heart. People are affected today. No contentment, no happiness. Follow the Quran. Follow Allah. Understand, surrender to His law. That is the only way out. You will achieve that contentment immediately. You will have the cure of your heart immediately. Surrender to the message of Allah, surrender to the Sharia, and you will find automatically you will receive the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In it, there is guidance and mercy for those who believe. And this is why a few verses after that, Allah says, What should make you happy? If I were to ask you a question, what makes you the happiest? What makes you so happy, the most happy? Allah says, here is the answer. قُلْ Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell them the answer.
بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ
They want to know what should make them happy. Two things. The virtue of Allah and His mercy. What is the virtue of Allah and His mercy? The fact that Allah has made us from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His virtue. And the mercy is the Quran and the Sharia. The fact that we are followers of Allah and His Messenger, that is the mercy. That is what should make us the happiest. Subhanallah. How many of us can say that we are so happy that we are Muslimin? Inshallah, all of us would say that. Ameen.
So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all forms of goodness. Really, there is a story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam here and Fir'aun. And I'm not going to go into the details of it, seeing that we are running a little bit short of time. But at the same time, there is one point I must mention. And that is, Fir'aun, we all know that he was a very great tyrant. He was a tyrant. Musa alayhi salam tried with him once, twice, for many years. And Musa alayhi salam never made a dua against him, except after a long period of time. And this was the quality of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were bearing the burden and the torture and the suffering that they were made to go through whilst they were conveying the message. But there was always a point when they stopped and they said, Ya Allah, this is enough, now destroy them. Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years later, he said, Oh Allah, don't even leave one of them. I've tried them and their offspring are even worse. Allahu Akbar. That is when they were completely destroyed. Why? Because the friends of Allah, and Allah speaks about awliyaullah just before the verses of Musa alayhi salam. The friends of Allah, they do not easily make a dua against people. They make a dua for guidance. The friends of Allah, when we harm them, they give out a charity on our behalf. Say, Ya Allah, that man who harmed me this morning, this is 5 rand for him. Ya Allah, accept it on his behalf. Subhanallah. These are the friends of Allah, the qualities. They don't just make a dua. They say, Ya Allah, guide these people. They're harming, they're doing this, they're spreading this, they're doing that. Ya Allah, grant them goodness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. But there comes a day when they also say, this is enough, Ya Allah, destroy them. The same minute Allah says, your dua is answered, here they are destroyed. That's what happened to Musa alayhi salam with Fir'aun. At one stage he says, Oh, a beautiful dua. He says, Oh Rabb, Ya Rabbi, you have given, إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ You have given Fir'aun and his cronies, his chiefs, so much in this dunya, beauty. Look at all the beauty you've given them. And you've given them so much wealth and authority, Ya Allah. They are only leading astray. Oh Allah, extinguish all that completely. اطمس على أموالهم Extinguish the wealth, Ya Allah. Take it away completely. واشدد على قلوبهم And Ya Allah, now you can harden their hearts. We are fed up of these people, Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded quite immediately saying to Musa and to Harun, قد أجيبت دعوتكما We've answered your prayer. Now a matter of time, they will all be destroyed. And we all know what happened. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really to make us from those who learn a lesson. Let us not harm one another. Let us try and be people who can assist one another in every way. And let us try and understand that those hidden from amongst us who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at times we don't even recognize them. They could be a person who might be working for us. That person could be the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read verses yesterday or the previous day, where I think it was the previous day, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the kuffar, they made a dua to say, if what you have sent down is the truth, then we want you to punish us with rocks. Send rocks down from heaven and destroy us. And Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will never destroy them whilst you are in their midst. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ We will not destroy them whilst you are in their midst. And we will not destroy them whilst they are engaging in istighfar. So this means from amongst us, sometimes they are friends of Allah. Because of them, the punishment is being held back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and grant us understanding. And if we would like to be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engage in constant istighfar. Ask Allah's forgiveness morning, afternoon, evening and night. Because Allah says in the Quran, when a person is engaging in istighfar, the punishment will not overtake them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.